من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، والصلاة والسلام على النبي الهاشمي المدني الأبطحي التهامي السيد البهي السراج المضيء الكوكب الدري صاحب الوقار والسكينة المدفون بالمدينة العبد المؤيد الرسول المسدد المصطفى الأمجد المحمود الأحمد حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. The Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Holy Quran, in a chapter we started before and we shall continue tonight. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله، وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون. وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون. والله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة، والله الذي لا الشهادة، هو الرحمن الرحيم، هو الله، هو الله الذي لا القدوس الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار الجبار المتكبر، هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن
العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله عما يشركون هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم صدق الله العلي العظيم صلوات Dear brothers and dear sisters, the value of our being and the knowing of our presence is in understanding these verses and the value of these verses and what these verses talk about and resemble. Some of us ask, we're spending so many different nights talking about Allah, knowing Allah, about the names of Allah, the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. Really, does it make any difference? We know He's Allah, He's Rahman, He's Rahim. Salaamu alaikum. Full stop. Let's go home. That's it. It's done. Do we really need to spend so much time? Do you know every decision you make in your life? Every decision you make in your life and everything, your entire presence and being depends on your understanding. What you understand and what you capture when you look around you and you start to understand this world, it reflects on how you make your decisions. Each and every one of you, no matter where you come from, no matter how educated you are, at the end of the day, you have a criteria and a way to make a decision. And the way you make the decisions and the criteria through which you make a decision is built based on your knowledge. And this knowledge of yours, the more it has knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal, remember, وَعَلَى ضَمَائِرَ حَوَتْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ بِكَ حَتَّى صَارَتْ خَاشِعًا. The khushu' from that knowledge will reflect on your decisions and how you shape your life. When you're about to walk away, when you're about to get into your car, when you're about to start your day, to go into work, to deal with others, it will all revolve based on what? On that understanding which you build yourself on. If it is built on the knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal, you will find everything you do, every decision you made is going back to Allah Azza wa Jal. But if you are far away from thinking, from knowing, from engaging your mind and heart with Allah Azza wa Jal, you'll find that your decisions are completely involved in what? In this world, far away from Allah Azza wa Jal. The choice becomes what? Yours in how you feed this mind. So yes, therefore you find the benefit of spending a lot of amount of time enough amount of time to build the mind, to teach the mind how to think in reference to Allah Azza wa Jal. So whatever decision you make, the lens through which you look at that decision is not, wallahi, because I live in here, or I came from there, or I'm from this family, or I'm from this group, or I'm from this ethnicity. It does not matter. What matter? What and how would Allah Azza wa Jal would want you to do at this point? See, we will, as I'm building for this, we will realize Allah wills. Allah, when He wills, His will doesn't mean whatever He wants happens. If that's the case, didn't Allah will for us all to be good, or He didn't? See, what I want to do in these 2 days is look at a detailed process. In the past 2 nights, or 3 nights maybe, we've been talking about the knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because we're going to reflect it on what we do. Why do you think I'm spending this much time? Let me tell you why. I always give this example of an engineer or even a doctor. Let's go down to the level of the doctor, okay? I'm just kidding. It's an engineer joke, okay? Doctors, when they look at something, do they not know in most times the details of the process and what happens to the body and the result of it? Like with the engineers. The engineers, when we run a software or a program, we know what we expect as an output, right or wrong. Now, do you think as an engineer, do I care for the output as much, or do I care for the process to perfect it so then the output can become better? Which one do you think I care about more? But as a user, do you care about the process? You want your printer to print. You want the email to email. That's all you care about. Right or wrong? You don't care about, you want a better email. You care about a better printer. You want it to do the work. That's it. You don't care about the process. Now, in order for you to get a more quality output, you will need to focus on what? On the process. If you don't care about the process, then all you care about, the candy. At the end, you want to taste it. Assalamu alaikum. Right or wrong? You just want to taste the candy and move on. You're like a little child. You stay a little child. How do you get pleased? Here's a candy and move on. But if you become a human being, an adult, if you become a thinking person, if you become someone with value, you care about the process. It's through the process, understanding the details of the process, what happens, you start bettering yourself. You start finding the beauty of life. You start tasting the pleasure of this life, the real true pleasure. When we know at the end of the day is there's either hell or heaven, and yes, I have to pray, and yes, I have to fast, and yes, I have to go to the Hajj, and I have to love Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, and assalamu alaikum, that's it. What am I? I become like the person who cares about the output only. But if I want to build who and what I am, one of the nights someone asked me, but how do we build ourselves? It's by engaging your mind and thinking about the process. The more you start reflecting on the process, the more you start working on who you are. The more you start caring about every thought of yours. Now, I will go about the thoughts, inshallah, because tonight I will talk, I promised yesterday, an answer for a question. The question was what? If we claim that Allah Azza wa Jal creates everything, and He does, and everything we do At the end, it's because of His creation. The question is, but we commit sins. So does that mean Allah Azza wa Jal, number one, وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ, God forbid, He is the one who is sinning? Or does it mean that we are forced into the sin? In both cases, I'm off the hook. Why is there hell? Because we know God is just. Why would He punish me for something I have nothing to do in it in the first place? All I did, I was created, and I was told to do, and I am just a robot doing what Allah wants me to do. After all, He's the one who created everything. Right? If we say right, we're in trouble. If we say wrong, well, it doesn't make sense though. To understand this, I'll need your undivided attention on a few sessions. To understand first, further, what does it mean Allah's knowledge? Number one. Number two, how is it that something is created in this world? But yesterday I gave you an example. I gave you the example of the human being, each and every one of us, from conception until he's dead. Is he the same person or not? And as I mentioned, all that happens is that we manifest our being is through what? The dimension of time that Allah created also. That's good so far? We know this much. Now, imagine each and every one of us. We all go back to what? This conceived instant. And those who conceived us go back to their conception. All the way to the Adam alayhi salam. To Allah Azza wa Jal, it's one and the same. To us, from the other plane, if you imagine there's like this plane, this side is what we call Allah's knowledge. This side is the manifestation of His knowledge. What do we see? This side or this side? We see this side. We're living this side. When Allah says, I know, because to Him, it's all at one. It's all one. There is no need for Him to wait to see what you will do. I want to make sure we understand this completely, inshallah. Now, I also talked about His attributes, either attributes of the essence or attributes of the action. I just want to give you a method through which you know these attributes, how to differentiate them. How do you know that this attribute is one of the essence or one of the action? And before that, let me explain the word essence. What does essence mean? When I say essence, I mean the reality of the thing. That without it, it does not exist. Water, what is the essence of the water? H2O. If I take the H or I take the O, would water still be water? So the essence of water is what? H2O. It's oxygen and hydrogen. In that criteria, coming together, they do what? They create the water. Without water, without the H2O, can water be water? Wonderful. Let me ask you though. This is what? We call that the attribute of the essence. The essence itself, H2O. Now, I take some water and I say, my God, the water is cold. And then I say the water is hot. Hotness and coldness as an attribute, does it affect the essence of the water? It doesn't. But it's still an attribute of the water. So far so good? So sometimes I can say water is hot, and I can also say water is not hot. Water is cold. When I say Allah Azza wa Jal rewards, is that an attribute or not? But also I can say what? He punishes. The exact opposite of reward is what? So reward and punishment, is that attribute of the essence or the action? the action. Why? When it comes to the attributes of the essence, I cannot say not. I cannot say God knows and God doesn't know. I can only say God knows. But I can say God punishes and doesn't punish. What does that mean? He rewards. Can I say God is alive and not alive? So alive is an attribute of what? The what? The what? See, I want to make sure this is not an easy topic. I want to make sure you understood it. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Is there something wrong with the clock? It runs really fast. Maybe I'm having too much fun here. Now, this criteria is important. Why? Because when we understand the attributes of the action, and we understand the attributes of the essence, it gives us a better understanding of our own actions. How? Allah Azza wa Jal, remember, yesterday I recited, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, فَلْيَنْظُرُ الْإِنسَانُ مِمَّ خُلِقُ. A man must consider from what he was created. خُلِقَ مِمَّاءٍ دَافِقٍ. Subhanallah, look at the creation of man. He was created from a gushing fluid. يَخْرُجُ مِنْ بَيْنِ الصُّلْبِ والترائب. That is issued between the backs and the ribs. That fluid. And then what? إِنَّهُ, meaning God, عَلَى رَجْعِهِ لَقَادِرٍ, is able to what? To bring him back. From what? From that gushing fluid. What do we think we are? The way we came, we will return. See, the importance of understanding this and realizing the attributes of Allah, where does it come to influence my and your decision? If you truly think the authority above you, that is Allah, who is holding on to your soul, and He is the owner of you, if you truly, really, with all your heart and mind, believed it, do you think you would sin? Do you think, if you're truly thinking about what? The process, not only the outcome. See, the outcome, we just look at one point. Our minds, if you examine your minds right now, when you do the halal and stay away from the haram, what's in your mind? Jannah and nar. What is that outcome? But if you start thinking about process, who cares about Jannah and Nar? It doesn't matter to me, Jannah and Nar. There's something more important. There's Allah. There is the All Beautiful. And for you to be infatuated, in love, mesmerized, taken by the beauty of Allah Azza wa Jal, you think you can see anything else in this universe but Him? Why does Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, why is it when he stands and prays, they say they could take an arrow out of his legs or out of his feet? Why? Because at that point in time, when the person is engaged completely, can you be engaged in that level? See, there's a discussion. Let me just briefly give a side note. Can we ever become like the Imam alayhi salam? See, some say the Imams are great. The Imams are wonderful. But since we can never be like the Imams, we just look at them, we praise them, and that's it. What have we done? If we think this way, and this is, by the way, common amongst a lot of people, If we think this way, what are we doing? We're disabling the function of the Imam alayhi salam. Let me give you an exam here. Let me ask you a trick question here. This is a trick question. So think before you answer. Who is the Imam of our time? This is not a trick question, by the way. Who is the Imam of our time? Who is he? Imam al-Zaman, Sahib al-Asr wa al-Zaman, ajalallahu ta'ala faraj al-Sharif. Let us draw a depiction, a picture, and say, he is an immaculate. Immaculate means what? He is one who chooses not to sin. Clear and clean of sins. By the way, sometimes there's a misusage that I realized. We use the word infallible, which is not accurate. Infallible means not that he is only sinless, but he cannot sin. Are the imams infallible or immaculate? If we say they're infallible, they became just angels. They cannot sin. So what good is that if they cannot sin? Versus they're immaculate, they can sin, but they choose not to. And because of their choice not to, because of their will not to sin, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسِ. Why did Allah will and irada yuridu Allah? Why did He want that? Because they wanted it for themselves. They not only wanted, they acted on it too. And in Allah's infinite knowledge, He knew amongst all His creation, there will be these 14 immaculates. Not only they chose not to, but they actually never sinned. And that's why He put them the way we know of them right now. It's not, wallah, God, out of everyone, you're going to be the ones who never sin. What good is that? No. He knew, in His infinite knowledge, these, when put on this earth, when given all the hardships they're given, they will choose not to sin, and they will actually never sin. And that's why He put them where He put them. And that's why He told us to follow them. But hold on. Does that mean if they're this perfect, we cannot be like them? Good. Let's cry on them. Let's celebrate their births. And let's love them. But we can never be like them. Is that what it is? What do you think? If you say, I can be like him, you're in trouble. If you say, I can't be like him, you're in trouble also. The Imam, let's say perfection, the Imam is perfect, of course. Right or wrong, sinless, perfect. Let's say we measured it and it's at, let's say, 20 degrees. Let's give it a 20 degrees. I am starting my journey of perfection. Can I ever be at that 20 degrees right by the Imam? What do you think? Yes or no? Who says yes? Who says I can be like the Imam 20 degrees, right there, at 20 degrees? Who says yes? Who says no? And the rest, what? No courage to answer? What's that? Maybe, between? صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. Because it's important, by the way. Really, if you don't answer these questions, some of us might live and die and have these questions and never answer them. And that's a problem. These are our imams. If I know from the get-go I cannot be like him, why in the world should I try to be like him? When they tell me the imam did this, the imam did that, oh, fine and dandy, beautiful. I cry, I laugh. Wassalamu alaikum. It means nothing to me. Why? I can never be like him. When we talk about these issues on this podium, there's a reason why I bring them up. Believe me, there's a reason. You think I want one of you to misunderstand, and this misunderstanding becomes on my neck on the day of judgment before God? Don't think standing here on the podium is a walk in the park. Let me tell you, the toughest job is being here. Okay? You know why? I am relating to you the knowledge of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. If I don't know it or I misguide you, God forbid, oh my Lord, on the Day of Judgment, you all go to heaven and I'm standing here waiting. Can someone look at me? See, when I walked in, I told one of the brothers, it's not fair from the Satwa Imam Barga here. It's not fair of you guys. You did something very, I don't know, questionable. I have to complain to someone about it. You know what it is? You put two doors. Not only that, you made it so hard, you put one Bab al-Hussein and Bab al-Abbas. Now, which one should we pick? Really, you look at Bab al-Hussein and Bab al-Abbas, alayhi salam. At the end of the day, they both are, they will intercede for us. And we need them on the Day of Judgment. See, you make people make choices right from the gate. And this is choices. It's all choices. Let's go back to the Imam alayhi salam. So, being here, let me make a point also. Please give me your undivided attention on this. Being on this podium is a trust. The podium is a trust. This is where the knowledge of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam is given up and is disseminated. You need to know who you lend your ears and mind to. It's not an easy job. You need to make sure. And don't just listen to me and go home. Examine. Challenge. Reference. You keep me straight, and I make sure I do my job. And everyone that holds this podium, this is not for me and you. This is for صاحب العصر والزمان عجل الله تعالى فرج الشروف. So, the Imam is, let's say, at 20 degrees perfection. 1, 2, 3, 4, 20 levels of perfection, right there. If I cannot be like the Imam, then why is he telling me to do things like him? But if I can be like him, after all, isn't he a guide for me? If I became equal to him, then he's no more a guide to me. So how do you solve it? Let me give you this example. I'll give you this example and then I'll solve you the problem. When I go to a carpenter, I ask him to build me a podium. I say, I need the podium to be 40 centimeters. I'm an inch guy in a person. Is this 40 centimeters? 40 maybe? Yeah? Okay, let's say 40. Now, the carpenter made this podium for me and brought it to me. He set it up. I take the measuring meter and I say, oh, no, I can't pay you, I'm sorry. Why? It's 40 meters and 3 millimeters. Well, Sayyid, you know, I know, but there is no... You know, I want the 40, period. He goes back. It's 40.001. I'm sorry, I can't pay you. Sayyid, you know, try it again. He comes back, I measure it, 40. I have this laser technology with very precise nano level that I can measure things. It's 40.00001 centimeters. I can't pay you. Sayyid, can we achieve 40, period? Can you? All of you guys are... You're not. Can you? No, you can't. But without the 40, would there have been 0.000? You need the 40. You need that reference point. The reference point in our lives are the Imam. We're the 0.000001. As much close we can come to the Imam as possible. But, does it mean I can become at a level of perfection as 20? Yes, I can. I can become 20. When I become 20, know that the Imam became 70. Why? Do you think the Imam does not himself seek closeness to Allah Azza wa Jal? See, when we talk about Allah, it's infinite. It never stops. Let me give you another example. Look at the whiteness of the ceiling. Look at the whiteness of the writing. And look at the whiteness of the flag. Is that whiteness one and the same? Which one is more whiter? Ceiling? Okay, ceiling. The ceiling is white. The writing is white and the flag is white. But we say the ceiling is whiter than all of the rest. When it comes to perfection, these levels, it's perfection. But there are levels within perfection. And we say the highest level of perfection achieved is by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And once we go into this, it trials of becoming and being perfect, we are doing what the Imam of the time is the one that's drawing us to perfection. He becomes the flag. And as he draws us to perfection, he himself is what? Is elevated in perfection. He elevates, we elevate. We elevate and he elevates. But our elevation is because of him. And his elevation is because of him. So now, we understand that yes, all this that we study, all this that we try, when I talk about the Imam, I cannot sit back and say, oh, that's the Imam. And me, we're two different people. I cannot become like the Imam. No, no, no. The Imam is giving you the standard. And he gives you what? The ultimate. And in between is your journey. And he tells you, come with me on this journey. He will take our hands and we'll elevate with him. The choice becomes what? His or ours? Ours, and for him, because he chose that he will take the hands of whoever is willing to elevate with him. Is that clear? Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. The time kind of took me by surprise. I didn't get to the topic. If I want to start it tonight, might be a little bit more talking about Allah Azza wa Jal's knowledge and how He creates. So instead of starting the discussion tonight, I wanted to make sure a few things. Let me wrap them up so I can leave you with something that beneficial for tonight, inshallah. When we look at our imams, alayhim afdalus salatu wassalam, our imams themselves, for us to be like them, for us to emulate them, we have the imam at the time of occultation right now, sahib al-asr wa zaman. Do we just go to the Imam alayhi salam directly? No. Between us and the Imam, now there is the jurists. There are the jurists. The jurists are the ones that link us, the link between us and the Imam of the time. That is why, dear brothers and dear sisters, to understand and to take care of our jurists and our scholars, it's something very important. It's not an easy matter. Some of us know who to follow, period. But we don't go beyond that. We need to understand more about them. We need to know more about the seminary. We need to know more about the area through which the knowledge is disseminated of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. Many of us don't realize the importance of our seminary. Our seminary is our heart. Our seminary is our mind. Our seminary is our blood. Our seminary is our soul. The scholars are the guides. The scholars are the flags. The scholars are the link to Sahib al-Asr wa al-Zaman alayhi salam. This is why you and I need to strengthen our relationship with them. Going to the city of Najaf, visiting the scholars, going to the city of Qum, visiting the scholars, understanding how they think, understanding what they require of us. Strengthening this relationship is absolutely necessary. Because if you don't, there'll be a missing link. And with this missing link, you'll find so much will be void in your lives. Dear brothers and sisters, many on the way gave up their lives to safeguard this knowledge. And tonight I want to take you for briefly to Karbala to see those individuals that protected this knowledge and safeguarded this knowledge. Amongst which were the companions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Dear brothers and sisters, on the ninth night of Muharram, in the land of Karbala, they say, Lady Zainab alayha salam, she was looking at the camp of Imam Hussein. Let's take a journey. There were people sitting together, gathered, discussing what to happen in the land of Karbala on the next day of Muharram, on the day of Ashura. On the other side, there were men sitting praying. On the other side, others were reciting the Holy Quran. And in here and there, women in their tents, weeping and thinking, where will they be tomorrow? What will happen to them tomorrow? What will be their fate tomorrow? Amongst them, there was Lady Zainab alayha salam, as she was looking for Imam Hussein. She saw he was in the tent with Imam Zain al-Abidin and Abil Fadl al-Abbas, and some say with Ali al-Akbar. They say Lady Zainab walked in and sat by them as they were talking about what will happen tomorrow. They say the Imam was talking with his brother Ali al-Akbar al-Abbas alayhim as-salam. They said, as they all discussed, how will the battlefield take place, and what will happen tomorrow, and how will the enemy attack the camp, and how would be the slaughter in the land of Karbala. There then Lady Zainab alayha salam, she stood up, she turned away her head, she casted her eyes down as she was walking away. Imam Hussein stood up, put his hand on Lady Zainab, Ukhtahu Zainab, Sister Zainab, why did you leave? Why are you turning away? She turned away, she turned back to see Imam Hussein, her hands on her face. She could not bear but hope hold her tears as Imam Hussein, with the caring eyes, with the loving soul, as he looked at his sister Zainab, Zainab, Lady Zainab said, Brother Sayyidi Hussein, you told me you don't want me to shed a tear around you. You don't want to see me crying. But how can I bear knowing tomorrow you, the love of my heart, will be slaughtered on the land of Karbala, and want me to hold my tears and not to shed my tears? Oh, Brother Hussein, we see the same tears on the day of Muharram for the last farewell of Imam Hussein, as he was saying his farewell to the women and the children. One of the children was sitting down, her head between her knees as she covered her head. Who was she? She was Sukaina. Imam Hussein sat on the ground, looked at Sukaina. Daughter Sukaina, سيطول من بعدي يا سكينة فاعلمي منك البكاء. Oh daughter Sukaina, so much tears will be flowing from you after my departure. Oh, وحسينا مظلوم حسين غريب حسين الشهيد حسين حبيب حسين. Everyone with me. غريب حسين شهيد مظلوم حسين وحسينا وغريبا وشهيدا ومظلوما. إلهي, for the sake of these tears that cried and shed for no other than Imam Hussein, we ask you in these nights, O Lord, we've done what we have done in our lives, but we put Hussein between you and us, and for his sake, forgive us all our sins. اللهم بحق محمد وآل محمد. اللهم بحق محمد وآل محمد. اغفر لنا وارحمنا واستر علينا يا رب ولا تفضحنا بحق الحسين بحق الحسين بحق الحسين. وصلى الله على محمد وآل محمد.